Welcome to the Small Business Show. We have created a podcast to have candid and in-depth conversations with entrepreneur and professional we find fascinating. Learn the tips and tricks for marketing, running, and growing a small business. The Small Business Show is the official podcast of Garuda Promo and Branding Solutions. Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Small Business Show. I'm your host, Swire Ho from Garuda Promo. My guest today is Scott Aaron. Scott is an internationally acclaimed and award-winning online marketer, 3 times best-selling author, top podcaster, and a speaker. Scott is the go-to expert when it comes to converting traffic, establishing connections, generating leads, creating sales, and building personal brands all using LinkedIn. For those of you who are watching on LinkedIn, you're in for a treat today because Scott has a program that helped thousands experience explosive growth and following his proven system and strategy. Before that, welcome to the show, Scott.
Swire, grateful to be here and looking forward to diving into everything that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, before we start talking about LinkedIn, you know, love to find out more about your journey. How did you become where you are today? And I want to find out what you like so much about LinkedIn.
Well, as far as the journey, that's an episode and talk in itself. But I'll give you the condensed version. So I'm a born entrepreneur. I jokingly tell people that I'm psychologically unemployable. So I've never had a boss. I've never worked for anyone else than myself. And that came about at 19. I was going through a really big transitional part of my personal and professional life. I was at the University of Pittsburgh. I was a sophomore in college. You know, being out on your own, even at that age, I just wasn't really prepared for the responsibility of having to make my own decisions and, you know, having to really, you know, put myself in a position where I was being self-responsible. So to make a long story short, I failed out of college in 3 semesters, had to come home, which I was very reluctant to doing because I always had the intention of improving, but it never happened. And transferred to community college to kind of, you know, live back at home where I could kind of regain that foundation. And at the same time, my father had just purchased a failing fitness club in downtown Philadelphia. He's been a fitness fanatic his whole life, still is to this day at 70 years old, is a world record holder in bench press contests. And, you know, he left a company that was very profitable to take over a failing business. And I was kind of confused about that. And what I had learned through a family conversation is that the company that he had left was under investigation by the federal government for insurance fraud. And, you know, my dad left. He was obviously complying with the federal government. And, you know, without knowing maybe the potential demise of his professional and personal career, he needed to have something for the family to fall back on. And I didn't know this, but I would have had to have left college anyway, because 6 months after I came home, my father was sentenced to 2.5 years in federal prison. So at this point, I transferred to Temple University, and I was then handed over the keys to run our family business. So I became the CEO and president at 19 years old of a quarter of a million dollar a year business that I didn't know how to run. I never knew anything about, I was an athlete, but I didn't really know anything about lifting or any of those things. But it was a very tumultuous 6 months because working through my own stuff, you know, failing out of college, having to start all over again. And, you know, then, okay, now I'm figuring my stuff out. And now my father goes to jail, and now I have to go to college full time and also run our family business full time. But, you know, I always tell people that that resiliency that I had at such a young age positioned me to achieve anything I wanted to in life, because I knew that it wasn't going to be an easy road. And I really found a home in the fitness community, ended up graduating from Temple in 5 years. So in total, I only went to school for 5 years. I I don't share this part of my story a lot, but I went to college. I went 2.5 years straight without stopping. I did double summer sessions 2 years in a row. So I was in college for 30 straight months to make up for the 3 semesters that I lost when I failed out. And I became a trainer, sports nutritionist, group fitness instructor, you know, grew it, the gym tremendously in the time that my dad was gone, opened up a second location, sold them both for $1 million in 2003, opened up a third flagship location in 2004. And it was in that time period in 2004 through 2016, when I closed the last gym, that the big transition happened. It was 2013 and I was in severe debt because I was the only one left with credit at the time when my father went away. When we financed the new gym, everything had to be put into my name. And as a family business, you don't ask questions. When you're handed a piece of paper and there's a dotted line, you sign it. So I was just signing away. And in 2010, about 6 years later, I found out exactly what those dotted lines meant because I was $1.5 million in liability debt. So that was another revelation. So then it took me about 3 years to really start honing in and figuring out what was my next step. And it wasn't necessarily to leave the fitness business, but I started to think about, okay, I am only as good as the four walls that surround me. I am only as good as the amount of time I have each day in my schedule. And that's when I started thinking about growing an online business, you know, taking it to social media. So people ask me all the time, well, why LinkedIn? I looked at specific stats and facts, and my mom always says facts are friendly. And when I realized that you could grow a network up to 30,000 of professional connections, not 5,000 personal friend connections on Facebook, right? Where the average income is between $70,000 to $100,000 a year more on LinkedIn compared to $30,000 a year or less on Facebook and Instagram, but also the fact that LinkedIn is 277% more effective for organic lead generation than Facebook and Instagram, it was a no-brainer. I'm like, I got to lean into this. So in 2013, I started using and leveraging the platform and started to really figure out, you know, how do I update my profile? How do I connect? How do I message? What kind of content should I create? And very quickly, my business grew and scaled. So I had some friends reaching out to me because they had heard about the success that I was having. And they said, can you help me? And I said, sure. So I told them a little bit about what I was doing. One friend in particular, 2 weeks after I showed him what to do from what I was doing that was working, he texted me and he said, call me. And I said, sure. So I called him. I said, what's up? And he goes, listen, dude, I don't know what you figured out, but he goes, I have 14 appointments booked this week and I've never had that many calls before in my life. He goes, you should be teaching this. Light bulb went off right then and there. And for me, it goes back to the core principles of marketing and branding, right? You define a problem, you provide a solution, you get someone a result. So the problem that I was seeing is people didn't know how to use LinkedIn. The solution was showing them how to use LinkedIn, and the result was them growing their business. So that's when I came the idea of like, you know what? He's right. I've been coaching people in the fitness realm for 15 years at this point, you know, spending almost 60,000 hours teaching people what they need to do in that respect. I just need to do it in the business portion. And that's exactly what I did.
Thank you so much, Scott, for sharing the story. And, you know, if I could ask that question for getting results on LinkedIn, can you share what you taught that friend to do, what it does to generate that? And, you know, for us, you know, watching it on LinkedIn Live right now, what kind of advice do we have?
There's I have something that I created called the 20-minute a day methodology. So I believe that people shouldn't spend any more than 20 minutes a day on LinkedIn. Because again, you're either scrolling and trolling, you're just wasting a lot of time. It should be very succinct and very streamlined. So before I get into the 20-minute a day method, it's important to note that in order to really leverage LinkedIn the right way, you need to make sure that you have your profile optimized. Now, I'm gonna share my screen really quickly just so you guys can see this. So I'd rather give you a visual. So what I wanted to kind of, I just want to walk you through a little bit of my LinkedIn profile and what you can see here. So you want to look at specific keywords. So I always start with telling people, make sure that you're using your headline portion, not as a power statement, but using specific keywords that people are searching for in the search engine, right? So it could be expert, it could be leads, it could be lead generation, author, speaker, marketing, podcast, connection, business, branding. All these are specific keywords where I want my profile populated. Because again, you need to figure out, okay, what is my target niche, right? What is my target market? What are they searching for that it's going to allow me to populate? Now, also making sure that you leverage the featured content section. If you want to create an experience for people on LinkedIn, you have to take them on that journey. So I want people to purchase my new book. I want people to subscribe to my LinkedIn newsletter. I want people to download my free infograph. But also leveraging the About Me section where you really share your story of what it is that you do, how you help people, but also finishing with that call to action, creating, again, a journey for people to not only be able to connect with you online, but connect with you offline. Filling out the experience section, having a clear description for each one. Leveraging your education, showing all the things that you went through. Licenses and certifications, volunteer experience, your skills. Now, I would say recommendations is also very important. Now, you can see right here, I have 507 written recommendations on my LinkedIn profile. I share that with people to encourage you to really let the words of other people do the talking for you.
How long did it take you to get 500? I think I tried for myself, but 500 is really an achievement.
Thank you. So I've been collecting recommendations probably for about 7 years.
Okay.
So again, if you do the math on that, you're looking at about 70 recommendations a year. Mm-hmm. Which is really nice, but you have to ask. So people say, well, how did you get that many? Well, A, I help a lot of people get results. And B, I ask those people that I get results for to share that. Mentioning any publications that you're featured in, honors and awards, languages, organizations, all of those things. So you can't do anything on LinkedIn, first and foremost, until you optimize your profile. Now, if we're going to fast forward, let's pretend that we have our profile optimized. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like, let's fast forward the tape. Everything is filled out the right way. So here's the 20-minute a day methodology. The first thing that you do is you need to connect with the right people. People ask me all the time, how do I get more people to accept my connections? How do I get more people to respond to my messages? And how do I get more people to engage in my content? Build the right network. If you're having a low connection acceptance rate, if you're having a low message response rate, and if it's an absolute crickets on your content, it's a number of things. A, your content sucks, or B, you have the wrong people in your network. So the first thing that you need to focus on is building the right network. So there's two types of connections that everyone needs to have on LinkedIn. Number one, ideal client or avatar. That person, that industry, that profession that you serve best, where they find out what it is that you do, how you do it, and who you serve, it's going to be a no-brainer that they want to work more deeply with you or the product, good, or service you provide. The second type of connection is what I call a power partner, exactly what Swire and I are, right? We are power partners. He's got a podcast, I got a podcast, and that's how we can support each other's business. So what I'll tell you is that sometimes, most of the time, the power partner connection plays more of a vital role than the actual ideal client connection. And here's why. When you form the right alliances and allies on LinkedIn for people that know who you are and what you do, guess what? If they're ever having a conversation on LinkedIn with someone and it's in with your scope of genius, guess who they're going to start referring people to without even asking? You. So you need to form those alliances. So making sure that every connection request that you send or accept that's been sent to you, they have to fit into one of those two connection buckets. They have to be either an ideal potential client or that power partner to form those alliances. So now you're building this network of the right type of connections. The second thing is messaging those new connections each day. You can't fill your calendar with qualified connection calls if you don't reach out to people. So you need to do the reaching out. Now, what you don't want to do is send an 18-paragraph long drunkalog verbal vomit message selling and pitching someone from the get-go. That just literally pushes people away further than you can ever imagine. What you need to do is reach out to people in a genuine way. So I've created something called the magic formula. So here's an example. When you send someone a message, you want to start it off like this. You know, hey, Steve, it's great to be connected to you. Not dear Steve, comma, space, indent, next paragraph. How's business going? It's too professional. It's too stuffy. It's too cold. You want a warm and inviting opening statement. So that's why I always recommend, hey, Steve, great to be connected to you. The second thing you're going to do, is you are going to make sure that what I call is lowering the drawbridge or bridging the gap. So you want to make sure that you create the second part of that message where it raises the level of connection and it lowers the wall of resistance. You want to state a connection point between you and that person. So, hey, Steve, great to be connected to you. I noticed that you were a business professional in XYZ industry, as am I. Would love to hear how things are going with you. Share more about what's going on with me and how we could support one another here on LinkedIn. Now, I've done two things. Number one, I've stated that natural connection point between myself and Steve. So when Steve is reading that message, he's going to be like, that makes sense. That's why Scott's reaching out to me. The second thing I did is I used the second most important word in the English language outside of someone's first name, and that word is support. There have been scientific studies done that have proven that when someone reads the word support, it triggers their brain to release a chemical called oxytocin. This is our feel-good brain chemical. So just like dopamine, endorphins, serotonin, cortisol, now that person is feeling good as they're reading this message. And the third and final thing that you do is you finish with a CTA, a call to action. Statements lead to nowhere. Questions lead to answers. You have to ask to GET. You have to ask in order to get. So if you don't ask Steve for a phone call, he's not going to give you one. So all you have to finish with is, do you have any time this week or next week for a call or a Zoom? That simple. Now, once you have the network growing the right way, and now you have the messaging going the right way, now you have to nurture your network. Now, how do you nurture them? This is where the content creation comes into place. Now, what I'll say is this. LinkedIn is not Facebook. It's not Instagram. It's not TikTok. It's not YouTube. You don't have to post 18 times a day or 18 times a minute. If you were to just post 3 times a week, once on Monday, once on Wednesday, and once on Friday, you will be doing more than 99% of the people on LinkedIn. Now, here's what you need to do. Monday, I always suggest starting with a video. It could be a 30 or 60 second educational or information-based video on your zone of genius, a skill set, a talent, something that's going to add value to the viewer or the person within your network. And it could be a simple weekly tip. Just want to jump on here really quickly and give you guys a tip on XYZ topic for XYZ industry. And here it is. Just give your tip. That's it. And then you ask people, this is another key. People say, well, how do you get people to engage? Ask them. At the end of your video, just type, you know, or just say in the video, you know, I would love to hear from all of you. Drop in the comments below, what was your biggest takeaway from today's video? Have a great day and I'll see you next week. That's it. 30 to 60 seconds. Get on there, give value, and get back to work.
Scott, I have a quick question.
So
you mentioned about getting the right contact, right? Getting the right connection and how to reach out to them. So is there a magic number, or should we focus on the quality of the connection we have to start seeing engagement? Do you have to be, you know, like a professional like yourself have, you know, I think you have over 30,000 followers. Is that, if I'm right, to make that engagement, like, or to really, it's better to have quality in instead of quantity.
Well, the quantity comes from the quality. So I didn't go from zero to 29,000 followers in a year. It's been 10 years and it's been building. So the types of connections that you want to have is vital, because if you have quality connections that are engaging in your content, what they're going to do is they're going to engage in that content. And what LinkedIn does, it actually notifies that person's network that they've been engaged in someone's video or someone's content. So now that person who's your connection, all of that person's second connections, which is their first connections, is being shown that this person has engaged in XYZ's person's content. Go check it out. So now you're able to impact other people's networks by having your quality connections engage with you, which allows your network to expand and grow. Now, as far as limitations, going back to your question, LinkedIn only allows us to send 100 connection requests a week. If you go over that, you'll get restricted. If you do it multiple times, they may have a permanent restriction on your account. So always stay under 100 connection requests per week. That's why you really have to hone in and really define who the ideal clients and power partners are of those who you want to invite into your network.
What about, I'm sure that, you know, from your stature right now, you probably receive a lot of connection requests. Should we accept all, or should we really select it, the ones that truly matters or maybe a good potential power partners?
Yep. You answered your own question. The same rule applies for when you are sending connection requests with the two buckets. It's applicable to the people that are sending connection requests to you. They have to be a potential ideal client and they have to be a potential power partner for you to accept it. And also to your point, yeah, at any given time, I have between 400 and 500 requests sitting in my inbox of people wanting to connect with me.
Oh.
But also that's why I have the follow feature on, so people can still follow me and engage in my content that way.
Okay. That's very interesting. So for us who started out, or so for us to building the right content to engage with our contacts, do you suggest video, or do you suggest like a post, or should we? I've seen newsletter where, you know, people asking me to sign up. They're very interesting. So yeah. What type of content do you think when we first started out?
For the beginner, much like what I was saying before, Monday I would always suggest doing a piece of video content, because nothing builds the know, like, and trust with your audience better than a piece of video content, because people can see you, feel you, and hear you. On Wednesdays is the day where you want to do some market research. People ask me all the time, well, A, how do you never run out of things to talk about? And B, how do you know what your audience wants to hear? Well, you got to ask them. For people to do what I do on Wednesday, which is conduct a LinkedIn poll. So there is a poll option that you can select on LinkedIn, whether it's on the mobile app or the desktop. Ask your audience a question ask them something related to business that they're struggling with. Like, you know, what are you struggling most with in business? You know, increasing your income, generating leads, creating more revenue. Other comment below. What this allows you to do is take the temperature of the network that you're building. Because remember, I said this earlier, problem, solution, result. So you have to find out what people's problems are so you can then provide a solution for it to get them a result. So every week, if you ask your poll question to your audience, they will reveal to you, exactly what they're struggling with, exactly what they need help with. And then what you can do is with those responses, so say the majority of the people voted for they're struggling with generating leads, right? So that was the number one struggle. On Friday, to your point, you can do a longer form piece of content, which could be an article, a newsletter edition, or a regular post, which they give you now the ability to do up to 3,000 characters, which is a pretty lengthy post. So now all of your content is driven around the needs of your audience instead of the needs of what you want to say. So now you're doing your video on Monday that's educating and informing. You're doing your market research poll on Wednesday to take a temperature of your audience to see what they're struggling with. And then you're doing that longer form piece of content that speaks directly to the pain point from Wednesday that's giving them the information that they need.
Okay. I actually have an interesting question that I wanted to populate on the chat for you.
Sure.
We have a listener ask, you know, reaching out to professionals, and LinkedIn is a global phenomenon, right? Where we can connect with people around the world. What if the listener said, what if they're not a English speaking as their first language? How can we still reach out and make the meaningful connection like you're suggesting?
It's a great question because communication is key. If it's easier for the individual who's first language is not English, and you're better at communicating through written means as a second language, meaning you're better at typing in English than you are speaking, you can still network with business professionals, but be open and honest and upfront and say, listen, you know, I'd be happy to get on a call or a Zoom, but I'm just putting it out there, you know, English is not my first language. You know, it's something that I'm looking to improve. So if it's okay, I would prefer to either continue going back and forth via the LinkedIn Messenger, or we can even take it offline through email. Which do you prefer? So just put it out there, be open, honest, and lay it out on the table.
Yeah, I think, you know, people rather to be, you genuinely tell them what it is than to find out later when you really get them on the call, then, you know, they see that. So I think if professional people don't really mind, right? The language barrier, it's a concern. But if you really have skills and talent, then, you know, we work with people around the world. So it shouldn't be, you know, an obstacle.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm a big believer in being transparent, open, and honest. So I would just put it out there, let the person know ahead of time so they know exactly what they're stepping into to learn how they can better communicate.
Scott, I want to ask you a question, and you probably get asked this a lot. So once I dedicated myself to fix my profile, to optimize it, start posting content, how long should I expect to see results?
You know, that really depends on the quality of the content, but also the quality of your network. I've had clients start to close deals within a matter of weeks. I've had other clients, it's just been a longer nurture process. I had a client that it took him 9 months to close a deal, but it was a $75,000 contract. So it was a longer nurture process. I had another client that in the last 2.5 years has brought in an additional $2 million of revenue into their business with the strategy that I taught them on LinkedIn. So it's really a case-by-case and individual basis. There's no clear-cut one answer, because every business professional has something different to offer, which means there's a different nurture process. Some of those nurture processes are very short and succinct. Others are a little bit elongated and stretched out. It really depends.
I've actually talked to business professionals that they don't want to connect with their client on LinkedIn because what they fear is, you know, if someone, you know, connect with them or see their contact, they're going to pick his pocket per se. Like, would you suggest we connect with our clients on LinkedIn?
100. Yeah. Who else do you want to write your recommendation than your client? I mean, again, if you live in that fear mentality or that fear state that someone's going to poach your content or your stuff, you have to reevaluate why you're in business in the first place. You have to be so confident in what you do that you're not even thinking about someone else taking what you're doing. I don't care. If someone is inspired and influenced in a way where it's going to encourage them to maybe do their own thing after what I taught them, so be it. Well, that's also why you copyright and trademark your stuff, which I've done. You should never live in that fear state. I'm connected to all my clients on LinkedIn because they're my best advocates. You know, they're my allies. They're the ones that introduce me to new people. So I'm always looking to connect with them.
Yeah, I want to share one quick point that I use, and I do connect with one of my clients, is when they switch job, they normally will post, I'm starting a new position on a new company. And then if you're smart, then that's the time when you want to reach out. You know, so have a conversation with them, you know, understand what their roles are and what their challenges are in the new company. I have had a client of mine who has switched 4 companies already. Every time that she switches company, she brought me along. So imagine that. That could be a plus. You know, it could overcome all the minuses that you think someone might steal your client. And I think you definitely want to connect with your clients on LinkedIn.
100%. Could not agree more. You said it perfectly, and I wouldn't even add anything to it. That's exactly what you want to do.
Yeah, and it's strange that they don't think about that, but think about all your clients. They do switch job. They do change position, or maybe they move on to be a larger position within the company. What if you can maintain that relationship and, you know, continue to be someone that they trust? Then that's how you make the relation really a relation, and it's not transaction. You know, like some of the, they can steal your client, then that means you probably don't have a good relationship with them.
Yeah. I mean, again, you want to be in the relationship building mode. Again, all my clients become my friends. So I really am grateful for that. And again, if they invest once, they're going to invest again and again. And, you know, my wife and I have a high level mastermind, and most of the people that end up joining our group program are people that we've worked with one-on-one. So it's also a great introduction to build that know, like, and trust and get people results. Because if you got results from them once, that means you'll get results for them again.
Yeah, Scott, I feel like, you know, I can ask you a question for the next 2 hours, but I see that you're getting, you know, personal question, and listeners certainly have a lot more things to ask you more about. So what would be the best way to reach out to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously LinkedIn, you can find me on there. I spend most of my time on that platform. Or my website, scottaron.net. That has all my personal stuff on there, my book, my podcast, other social handles, and then the company page that my wife and I have together is thetimetogrow.com. So you can find me at either of those two websites.
I'll leave everything on the show notes. Thank you, Scott, for coming on today. You know, you gave me a lot of good thinkings. I definitely going to check out my own profile and see how I can optimize it.
Well, thank you, Swire. Appreciate the opportunity, and I hope everyone got some sort of tangible takeaway that they're going to apply to their business right away. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast and share with your friends or colleagues who might benefit from the conversation. Any questions or feedback, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect with you. Our show is live streamed both on YouTube and LinkedIn every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'll see you next time.